accounting teachers leave teaching because of the money, because they're not making a mutt. Getting frustrated of, you know, I can't go on family vacations. I can't start a 529 for my kids. A lot of competitors out there. And I would say probably the top four, they have a CEO mindset. And we've been able to be better than them because we don't. We all have a teacher mindset. We'll have these random pop-ups in different states, but then as soon as someone in that school does it, teachers talk, you know, and especially if they take something that's great, that makes them better, that they share it with other teachers and they say, what? Where did you learn this? Now we've got a bunch of teachers in that school taking it. So our goal is, yes, we want every teacher maxed out on that pay scale.
This is the ProCo 360 podcast for people who love Colorado and love hearing from Colorado's most inventive and successful entrepreneurs. Today's guest is Jen Cooper, founder and CEO of Happy Teacher. Happy Teacher is a professional development company specifically for K-12 teachers. And regular listeners, you know that I love, love, love a company that solves a painful problem with an easy-to-understand solution that makes the cost to purchase small compared to the benefit. I mean, that's like the holy grail for business. And basically, we're buying is simple. So Happy Teacher does exactly that. And that's what made me excited to meet Jen and speak with her on ProCo 360. Jen, I'm psyched to talk about Happy Teacher. Welcome to ProCo 360.
Thanks, Dave. I'm so happy to be here.
Good. And by the way, I understand this is the first podcast you've done.
First one. Thanks
so
for having me.
Here we go. All right. So I gave an overview of Happy Teacher. Talk first about the problem you're solving.
Sure. Teacher salary across the nation is pretty low, but teachers do have the opportunity to advance their salary. So a typical school district will have two ways to move over. One is going to be a vertical way. So each year of teaching, you move down and it's small. It's cost of living typically if they give it. And then there's a horizontal. So the additional education you get, you can move over on the pay scale that way. And that's where you can really make a change within a teacher's salary.
Well, that's kind of like different from most jobs where you have to get a promotion, it becomes somewhat arbitrary and everything. Like, talk a little bit more about the way, I mean, this is often union contract driven, but the idea that teachers can determine their own advancement of compensation, right?
Absolutely. So when I was deciding to move up the pay scale, my friend who's a financial advisor, first off, knocked me on the head saying, why have you not maxed out yet?
Yeah.
She said, you know, I went back and got my MBA with a hope that I would be able to land a different job or to be able to move up on the pay scale. Teachers have it laid out for them. If you get a master's degree, this is how much more you'll make. If you get additional hours, this is how much more you'll make. So it's really nice to have that linear piece. I think a big issue is school districts don't train teachers on how to understand it. And every single school district's different. So from school district to school district across the nation, it's different rules. So teachers don't know, how do I move up? What classes do I have to take? What accreditations will they accept? When do I submit classes? How do I submit classes? All the itty-bitty pieces of how to be able to do that.
And so Happy Teacher, as well as providing the actual professional development, also coaches teachers on how to do it?
We do. We have a free class for teachers on our website. It's 5 days. We say it'll only take 5 to 10 minutes per day. And at the end, you'll have everything you need to make sure that you know how to move up the pay scale in your district. All the rules. We give email templates. So we say, send this off. This is what each piece means. This is what accreditation means. And give them that confidence so they can make that step.
That's super cool. And listeners, just so you know, the math is really, really compelling. There was an example on your website. And I thought it was understated because it had somebody, I think, living till early 70s or something in this example, and most people live much later. So the numbers would be even better. But the math was that for somebody who invested in this example, $4,425, they would get over the life of their career and then into those early years of retirement an additional $151,000 in compensation. It's like automatic, right?
Right, Dave? It is. And yet so many teachers don't do it, including myself. You know, this, I didn't move over right away. I grew up knowing I wanted to be a teacher. That was I probably a public apology to like my siblings and cousins, everyone who I forced to play school growing up. But got my degree. When I went into teaching, I dove head in first. I was teaching and coaching and doing student government every club and didn't really think about moving up on the pay scale.
So you're doing all that, but the incremental money is really nominal, isn't it?
Very. You know, I think coaching, I was making like 25 cents an hour if you graduated out.
Yeah.
And my first teaching job, I was making $28,000. So I still had to work at a restaurant on weekends. And I think most teachers kind of fill that gap with a second job to be able to do. Instead of looking at the pay scale and saying, how much more could I make if I do that, if I max out? So I almost left teaching, which is really sad because it wasn't because I didn't like teaching. It was when I had my second child and my entire paycheck was going to daycare.
I was
working for health insurance, essentially. And I got to a point a semester in after my second was born, I said, this is crazy. Like, my whole paycheck is going to daycare. And that's when I had a conversation with my friend who's a financial advisor and just kind of opened up where I was and how I was feeling. And she laid out the pay scale and said, I printed it. I ran upstairs. I did it on the printer. And she said, okay, Jen, look at these numbers. From year 1 to 7, I stayed at my bachelor's degree in a couple classes here or there. She said, if you move over, in my district, it was a master's plus 80. In 7 years that you haven't done this, you've lost $111,000. And that number to me was like, wait a second, that's six figures. I didn't make that when I was working at the restaurant.
So how much time, aside from the tuition that you'd pay for these classes, professional development, how much time does it take to become somebody who went from a bachelor's to someone who's maxed out? How much personal time do you have to invest?
Yeah, so my master's degree was 18 months. I did an online program in master's in technology. Then it took me an additional 9 months to move to plus 80 semester credits. So I did all self-paced online classes. It was really what triggered Happy Teachers because I had a terrible experience. Mm. I did 80 semester credits. And, you know, districts aren't paying you more because they want you to jump through hoops. They're paying you more because they want the best teachers in the industry. They want their teachers to stay. Turnover is so expensive. And they want the best teachers in each of their buildings. So it's really a disservice when most professional development is, a reading, a test, a research paper that you don't get back for 2 months and really not practical to the class.
Well, all right. So it, again, is so that you had 18 credits or wait, how many, 18 months and then another 9 months, but like how many personal hours went into this? I mean, what's the, because you gotta factor that in aside from the dollar cost.
Absolutely. It's scary to make a commitment when you're working full time to say, can I do this? Having that confidence.
And with two kids.
Yeah, with two kids. And all the other things. One semester credit is equivalent to 15 hours of work. Now, I think that's a hard part for most programs because it's not relevant to teaching. Where Happy Teacher has taken on that these classes are meant to be in the classroom. We have hands-on assignments.
So you can be doing it while you're doing your job.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
We created it for that. So
the incremental work is really happened simultaneously with your current job in most cases?
Absolutely. So you're trying these out in your classroom with your students. You're making a difference.
How brilliant is that?
Yeah, thank you.
So you can get credit for the hours. I just have to say this again because it sounds so interesting. You can get credit for your hours while you're doing your job. That's sweet.
Yeah, and that's what makes the difference.
Yes. All right. So now that you're making a difference in this, how did you start the business? Is there an origin story that's kind of fun?
You know, I consider myself pretty financially savvy. I think I've always had to be financially savvy starting off in a teaching.
$28,000,
yes, exactly. And it didn't go up for quite a while. But I knocked myself in the head when it took someone else to say, you just passed up $111,000. Why? And I was like, well, I think all the reasons, like, do I have the time to do it? Also, the cost, it costs money. When you break it down across on average, it takes about $2,000 to move over. Every school district's different, but 12, 15, whatever their next lane is. But the payback is almost immediate. So most districts.
The very next school year, they make it back.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, then forever while they're teaching. Yes.
We're on a pension program.
Yeah.
So if anyone said common sense wise to you, hey, give me $2,000 now, and for the rest of your life, I'm giving you back $2,000.
Yeah.
It's a no brainer.
Sure.
But, it's so convoluted of how to move up the pay scale that I think it pauses everyone.
Well, okay. So your friend said, here's $111,000 you left on the table. Did that become a business like then? Or what was that?
No,
that process.
It became my kick in the butt. Like, why did I not? So I did my master's and I maxed out right away just to make ends meet, to be honest. It wasn't,
So 2 years later, roughly, you had maxed out.
About 2 years later, and I thought that was the biggest disservice. I took 80 semester credits and I can't say one class that made me a better teacher.
Wow.
Nothing.
That's kind of depressing.
It is. And, districts are investing to make you a better teacher. So that was really the foundation of Happy Teacher. We want to make the best teachers in the United States. We want happy teachers. We want teachers to be able to max out so we don't lose teachers. Dave, 40% of teachers leave within the first 5 years.
You think it's the money or just like crazy kids?
Yeah, so. I think both, you know. When you start teaching, it's hard. You've got to figure out classroom management. Every single classroom's different. It really takes a couple of years to get that under your belt and to figure out how to do it. And it's a lot, your first several years of teaching. There's little support. So that's what our classes do. We're providing that support. But I do also think it's the money. I didn't want to leave teaching, but I also didn't find it, you know, worth it to be able to stay in.
I'm cutting you off there because I want to ask again this question of, when it went from the light bulb, to a business, what did that look like?
Sure. You know, it really grew organically. I started doing classes just within my school. So what I did love was my master's program. My master's program was in technology. And this is the time where things changed so much in education, Dave. This is when, like, I used to do grade books by hand with a pencil and stuff. And now all of a sudden, you know, in 2010, 2012, we started having online grade books. We started having teachers could make a website. You know, before that, it was like, you don't know HTML, you can't make a website.
Yeah.
Google Sites came out, it's drag and drop. Teachers can do that. Google Classroom, online things that, you know, I could change the text of anything that I was giving a kid to their reading level, to their Lexile reading level. So many cool things. Go ahead.
How did you decide to make this a business?
Okay, you're like, get to it. I think I realized this is what teachers need. Why didn't I have this as an option when I was doing my plus hours? Instead, I had a bunch of research and theory, which is important, but I learned that when I was going to get my original degree. I also worked with a national organization that looked at teacher attrition and the fact that so many teachers aren't going into teaching, but also are leaving teaching. And that's an issue.
How did you decide to make it a business?
Okay, so I said, let's look at every reason that teachers leave the profession, and I'm going to make a professional development company that fixes those reasons. So is any class that's going to help a teacher be better, be their best, whether it's, you know, teaching kindness in your class, that's
but you thought you could just start doing this and build it, and like you decided you're going to make a business to do this better?
Dave, it was bootstrap, right? It was in the
I mean, you just decided to build a business?
Yeah.
Wow.
And we wanted to change how professional development was. We flipped it on its head. We started with just a Google Sites, and it was really just word of mouth. Teachers in my district took it, and then all of a sudden, teachers in my district started telling other teachers.
But you can't
districts.
Just do that because you got to have it. You have to have some sort of formal accreditation. People have to say that what you're teaching, they're going to count, right?
Absolutely.
So that's a process in itself, isn't it?
We learned a lot. Yeah, we had to partner with universities. The classes have to be accredited. So we had to make sure that we had that partnership, that we had that foundation. You know, if we're not teaching a bunch of the things that we thought were pointless before, if we're doing something hands-on, how are we going to show that it's an that it can be accredited? So we went through that process.
Through with who? Like, who decides that?
Yeah,
Is there some national board that says you're going to qualify to make more money if you go learn how to be kind in a classroom?
Yeah, good question.
Is there?
So there's accreditation.
Yeah.
And so we went with HLC accredited universities. We partner with Adams State University and Upper Iowa University. They go through all of our courses. They have standards that we have to meet. So they go through the process. They actually audit our classes. So they go on to see what teachers are doing, what teachers are learning, what they're submitting.
So you have to be tied. Happy teacher has to be tied to accredited universities who then sort of bundle you on? Is that how it works?
Yeah. Well, so no, we're separate. We have people auditing our classes and then they do the transcripts for us. But why they have that accreditation is most school districts don't have the time to individually approve or disapprove when teachers want to take classes. So there's some really tiny school districts that
they'll
say, we'll take this one or this one.
Yeah.
But most just put it onto accreditation and they say, hey, if a university that has accreditation is doing all the oversight, we'll accept it for salary advancement.
Wow. So. All right. That's good. And has anybody ever said, whoa, we accepted this Be Kind in the Class. Now, I know that it's not just that, but we accepted this Happy Teacher program. But in hindsight, that doesn't really fulfill, or has it been just like a green light?
Yeah, we've really had strong partnerships. We really believe in the strong accreditation process. A lot of programs are, especially with AI now, it's not giving teachers, it's not making better teachers. That we're really strict with our accreditation. We have strong partnerships to make sure that that would never happen. So we've had green lights.
Oh, cool. All right, I'm going to take a quick break and thank listeners. This is ProCo 360, named Best Colorado Business Podcast the last 5 years. I'm your host, Dave Tabor. This is the podcast for people who love Colorado and the stories of Colorado businesses and entrepreneurs. My guest today is Jen Cooper of Happy Teacher. I want to thank sponsors, Avia Technologies. They've been hosting ProCo 360 and doing all my tech work for a long, long time. They specialize in working with super smart clients who understand that, like, these folks at Via Technologies can help them, and how can we partner to achieve some great results? Also, Colorado Biz Magazine, and they do a great job featuring tremendous Colorado companies. And recently, that's when they named us for the fifth year in a row as the best Colorado business podcast. Also, want to thank my friends at Denver Ventures. We partner with Denver Ventures to feature great Colorado companies. So back to getting this business going at Happy Teachers. And I do want to shift gears in a minute, but first I wanted to ask you, you said you started out with a Google website or
Just a Google site.
Yeah, but I mean, at what point did you go live? Like, what was your minimum viable product that says, okay, we're actually going to start taking money?
Yeah, so we started with the accreditation. Teachers didn't want to waste their time taking classes that didn't have that accreditation and that ability. So we set that up from the get-go. We didn't have marketing. Really grew by word of mouth.
How many classes?
And right now we have 40.
But then when you started, 40 is
a lot. Oh, gosh. We had, I think, 12, 13 in the beginning. But it was truly all word of mouth. That was all of our growth. And within 2 years, we hit $1 million.
Wow.
And we said, okay, we need to change from our Google site to a little more legit.
Yes. Wow. That's amazing. All right. I want to touch on this idea of teacher satisfaction a little bit, because I love your value proposition. It is so easy to understand. It's so compelling. And there's this saying, money can't buy happiness. And yet you are selling exactly that to teachers. Like, that's the deal. Like, sign here, do this, you make more money. So talk about that.
It's so funny, because no teacher in the world has ever gone into teaching saying, I'm doing this to make money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I want to get rich. No, but unfortunately, Dave, a ton of teachers leave teaching because of the money, because they're not making a mutt. You know, whether it's paying for daycare or paying your mortgage or your student loan back, getting frustrated of, you know, I can't go on family vacations. I can't start a 529 for my kids because, you know, I'm not making enough to be able to do that. So we're not selling just make a ton of money. We do want teachers to understand. I wish someone talked to me 7 years before that. There's a lot of things I would have done. But we want to teach teachers that it's really about freedom. You're doing the same job every day, regardless if you max out or not. So where do you see your value? Do you think you're at the end, or do you think you want to be the best?
That makes sense. And certainly if earning what you're capable of earning keeps you in the game, that changes everything, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It makes happier teachers. It makes people feel better in their profession. You know, when you take classes that truly make you the best, you want to stay.
Yeah.
You don't want to leave.
Cool. That's encouraging for all of us parents, for sure. I wonder, though, if everybody took your advice and everybody maxed out what they were paid, would that have like a profound impact on school districts? And would they actually then start hiring fewer teachers because it would just be expensive?
Good question. It would be expensive. But how expensive is turnover? When you're having the least experienced teachers, year near 40% of your teachers you're losing the first 5 years. Would you rather have the best teachers? I mean, you've got kids. Do you want them to have the best teachers?
Of course I do.
Or do you want them to have the first year?
Yeah. Well, but everybody, you keep hearing about school budgets, and you know what? You almost get to a point where the budgets are so small that they'd be like, yeah, turnover's a pain, but like, we can get a teacher for half.
Right.
So, I mean, ultimately, are you going to create a problem for school districts from a financial standpoint?
I think what we're going to do is keep good teachers in the profession. I think we're going to weed out the bad teachers because they're not enjoying their jobs, right?
If you're
not getting paid much and you don't enjoy what you do day to day, if you're not taking classes to learn how to be the best teacher, you're more likely not going to stay in the career. So we're hoping to, keep teachers. Unfortunately, now the problem we're having is on the opposite end. So in Colorado, just this year, 17% of teaching positions didn't get filled.
And you think it's likely because of the money?
So we also have less teachers going into the program. So nationally, 17% of their universities of education programs have seen a decline in teachers going in to get an education degree go down 17%. I actually did a commercial for CU like 4 years ago.
You did?
Yeah, to promote teachers going into the field. And it still hasn't gotten better. So I think we have less teachers going in. I think we have a lot of baby boomers retiring and going out. Mm-hmm. And we're not doing a lot to keep those new teachers in.
So this would help. That's pretty cool. Now, when you started the business, like you started it to solve this problem, what's something you didn't expect along the way that you thought was going to be like, this is not what I was hoping to see?
I didn't sign up for that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think because we are bootstrap and we're a bunch of teachers that are super passionate. I mean, someone said Happy Teacher is the absolute best name for your company.
All of your instructors
are seriously so happy. I think with the growth, there's a lot of things I don't know. So, for example, about a year and a half ago, we went to Wordify once we were like, okay, year two, we can't just have a Google site. We need to have, legit. And then we grew and grew. And last year we went to Shopify because everyone said, that's the best program. You've got to go on. And we thought we did all the legwork. And my colleague and I interviewed a bunch of people. We thought we found the perfect. And it was the biggest mistake I've made so far in Happy Teacher. The program or the people that we hired, for 10 months, they were saying everything was done. The certificates work, this work, that work. And they unfortunately didn't. So I would say so far that's been my biggest mistake. I think I need to reach out to more people that are more knowledgeable in different areas with growth.
So in choosing these folks, you did it internally with your own sense of evaluation?
Yeah.
Now you wish you had talked to some people who knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Got it. To help you evaluate and pick the right folks. Got it. That's a good example, though. I'm also interested in how you made that general transition from being a teacher to being a CEO.
So I'm still a teacher, Dave. I'm still teaching.
A full load?
No. I teach part-time, and then the rest of the day I'm doing Happy Teacher. I took a year sabbatical when things got really crazy and we were growing so fast. And honestly, I missed the classroom. I missed being there. I think being a CEO of an education company, if you leave, you're not the sights on the ground anymore. You don't know what's happening day to day. Teacher struggles, teacher successes. I am still in the classroom.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how many hours a week are you working for Happy Teacher?
Too many.
Yeah.
A ton.
I mean, you're a founder. It's not a part-time job. So you still have a part-time job and you're a founder full-time.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I had this impression of teachers being kind-hearted and everybody wins, kind of like everybody gets a trophy. And you've got to run a company now. And your mindset, like everybody wins mindset all the time, can't always work, does it?
Yeah, I think I've learned a lot there, too. It is usually pretty rosy. I think something that with a part of our growth was really sticking to our guns with our philosophy, with who we are as a company. A big piece, lately has been, expand your partnerships. We want you to expand here and there. And we had two universities that wanted partnerships. They sent the MOU and just were really excited. And then after signing said, we just need you to remove two of your classes. We don't want your equity class and we don't want your LGBTQ class because, you never know with funding these days if that's. And we turned around and said, we're not the right partners for you. We're here for teachers and we're here for students and the best education they can have. And every class is going to have to deal with equity. Every class is going to have to be an LGBTQ inclusive classroom. We're not forced PD. That's what's pretty cool is teachers choose to take our classes. So they don't have to choose those classes. But we weren't going to be forced into a partnership that made us different than who we are at the core values.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, what about getting back to sort of the mindset of being a CEO, is it a different mindset, or are you the same teacher of the same teacher's mind when you walk out of the classroom and when you walk into your CEO hat?
Come on. You know, Dave, I'm still a teacher. I've been just trying to figure out this process along the way. This year is the first year that we've said, okay, we need to move beyond Colorado. I think nationally, teachers need us.
So you're not gonna be able to stay being a teacher at some point. Come on.
So at some point, yeah, I'll have. I don't know. I don't see myself ever not doing something within education.
That's fair. But let me push back a little bit, because people who leave one sort of, say, the role of being an individual contributor, whether you're an engineer or a teacher or a plumber, and you become a business person, like everyone I've spoken to says they have to think differently about their job and their role than they did when they were an individual contributor. Well?
Yeah, I do. I think I need to rely on more people that like that piece to it, that like the business piece, the CEO piece, and helping me in that perspective. I didn't get a degree business, right? I truly am doing this for teachers and to have the best teachers. I think we have a national issue right now. And I see our company solving it that nobody else is.
So are you becoming a different kind of person, or are you just relying? I mean, you would have to become a different kind of person to make the kinds of decisions that drive a business than that drive a classroom.
Give me an example.
Maybe I'm wrong. Okay, it's different when you have to decide if you've got an underperformer on your team than if you have an underperformer in your classroom, isn't it?
For sure, yeah.
So you have to deal with that stuff, don't you?
Yeah, as we grow and as we have grown, I've been so lucky with the team I have, Dave. Like, our teachers are amazing. They are so awesome. And our instructors respect teachers. I think that's the biggest thing, is the teacher is the expert in their classroom. So part of our courses are every single teacher sets their goal in the beginning. Our teachers know our instructors know our teachers by name. They know them personally. We're celebrating teachers when they get married and when they have kids and when there's school tragedies. We're supporting that. We're a different professional development company. I never in 80 semester credits knew the name of who was grading my papers.
Well, I'm getting the impression that even as you become a business, that you don't want to feel like one.
No, I think personal relationships are really what's going to set us apart. We've been pushed to say, hey, you should change. AI would cut your costs here, and
yes,
would do this and would do that. And I think we know teachers. Teachers want that individuality. They want to be heard. They want to be able to be better in their classroom. And I think an individual person, a great teacher, is much better at that than AI.
I love all that. And I still wonder, you must have faced some really tough business decisions that teacher Jen would have made differently than CEO Jen. Can you think of an example of like a CEO Jen decision that walking into this just did not feel like teacher Jen?
Good question. Let me think about that for just a sec.
All right.
God, Dave, even after pausing, I can't think of a decision I've made up to this point that wasn't made out of a teacher mind.
Really?
Yeah.
So what about financial stuff? You know, I mean, do you still use a teacher mindset when you're making financial decisions, when you're deciding if you have to lay somebody off, or you have to let somebody go? That's done with a teacher mindset?
Yeah, you know, we haven't had to. Luckily, our growth hasn't had to do that. I think even how we spend our money has been very teacher-driven. We give back a lot. So a percentage of, you know, I mentioned the LGBTQ class, that goes to the Trevor Project. We have a cooking class. A portion of that goes to funding for, especially now, food insecurity within schools and nationwide. We have a suicide prevention class, and we put a good portion of that back into schools for suicide prevention. And so I think it's everything we've done this far has really been with a teacher mindset. And I don't think we would have been as successful if we didn't have that mindset. There are a lot of competitors out there. And I would say probably the top four, they have a CEO mindset. And we've been able to be better than them because we don't. we all have a teacher mindset. Every single one of our contractors and employees is still in the school.
Wow.
They've had that.
If you had to define, we've both been using the term teacher mindset. If you had to define that term, what would it be?
Oh, good question. I think really good teachers, of course, want to teach. Instruction is behind it. But foundation of teaching is first building those relationships. Building those relationships in your classroom, making sure you have a great classroom atmosphere, reaching out to the community and making sure that you have parent involvement. I think, too, you kind of have to be a happy teacher. You have to be able to stop and say, why am I grading this manually? You know, a multiple choice question manually. Yeah. I need to save my time and be better.
Cool. All right. Now, how do you reach these teachers? You said early on it was all word of mouth, but now how many teachers have been through your classes?
Yeah, one way or another? We have thousands every year.
Yeah. So how do you reach them?
Our drive has been teachers.
Really? So it's still mostly word of mouth?
We're just this year diving into, we need to get into marketing. I think we've had such success in Colorado because of word of mouth. So, you know, teachers, they're so excited about PD so bad overall that when they have a good experience, they're doing our marketing for us. They're the ones telling their friends. So this is the first year that we've said, okay, we need to do marketing. We need to do this nationally.
Wow.
90% of our business, over 90%, are Colorado teachers. So we've got a lot of states
that we've got to hit. Yes. Well, now, the value proposition seems so easy. Invest a dollar, get 20 back over the length of your career. It seems, and it's not even that hard because you get to do it while you're working. Does anybody say no? Does anybody come to your website, click, I want to learn more, and never come back?
You know, we're trying our best. We want every teacher to max out. We know that they'll be better. If they take the classes, they're going to enjoy their jobs better. They're going to get paid more. They're going to have freedom to do whatever. Not grading. Go to your kid's soccer game. Don't grade English papers on the weekend. So we know that once they take it, they're going to have that freedom and be able to do it. So our goal is, yes, we want every teacher maxed out on that pay scale.
Well, cool. Now, you mentioned being Colorado-based. That's awesome. Are you part of the entrepreneurial ecosystem yet, or are you still – teacher focused, you don't know anybody else?
I don't know anyone. Invite me
really?
And Dave.
Really? Wow. There are a lot of people who would want to meet you and that you would enjoy meeting. How are you seeing Happy Teacher evolving? You mentioned you're going to have to start doing some marketing because it's time. What's the motivation to that? It sounds like your motivation is to help more teachers be happier everywhere.
Yeah, you know, we started in Colorado, and word of mouth spread to random places. So we had a really small school district in Rockford, Illinois, and it was someone's friend who told them, and then the next month, 12 teachers in that school took it. So once we're able to get there, we know that we're making a difference. Same thing, you know, Pennsylvania. We'll have these random pop-ups in different states, but then as soon as someone in that school does it, teachers talk, you know, and especially if they take something that's great, that makes them better, that they share it with other teachers, and they say, what? Where did you learn this? Now we've got a bunch of teachers in that school taking it. So, yeah, we hope to be able to do that.
Oh, that's cool. Now, it's really quite a journey. What do you wish you had known when you started that you know now?
To give more people things to do, I think. Trusting people just to take over the reins and to be able to do things. I've done it all at this point. So every time, you know, there's a website issue, I'm the contact. If there's something, you know, that goes wrong in a class, if there's something that, you know, grading issue, anything that happens. And this is the first year I've gotten to the point where I'm like, okay, I don't need to do all of it. And in order to really grow and be a better company, I can't do all of it. I do have to rely on other people to take the reins.
Yeah. What is the biggest challenge going forward for you? I mean, you've got big expansion thoughts.
We do. I think finding the right partners for us to be able to do that. We've got the best university partners. Earning a master's degree is the biggest step teachers have to do to get over on that pay scale. Some school districts will give you little carrots, you know, at a bachelor's degree plus 12 or 15, 20 hours. But mostly you have to get a master's. And then there might be some additional steps after that. Getting a master's degree is really expensive. $40,000 to $60,000 is a huge investment. So we've partnered the this summer, we partnered with Upper Iowa University. They've gone through all of our classes. They know our classes.
Does it still cost $40,000?
So through our partnership, they can start with us. They move on to Upper Iowa's education program. They can get a master's in education. They have several programs that we've partnered for them to be able to do for teachers. All said and done, Dave, $10,000.
Wow. That's amazing. And that's going to give a typical teacher, what, an $8,000 bump, $10,000 bump?
8 to 12.
Wow.
So they're going to earn that back immediately.
That's amazing. All right, last question. Based on your journey, which I talked about earlier, like being someone who's an individual contributor who then becomes a company founder, like what advice do you have somebody, whether I don't care if they're making pies or doing plumbing, but what advice do you have somebody from going from that role into a CEO role and starting a company?
I think whatever you love to do, share it. I had no intention of, you know, building this company as big as it was. I wanted to share really awesome classes and do something in Colorado. And so, yeah, do it.
Well, I'm going to push back on that because it could be the ending sound quote and all that, but it shouldn't be because so many people have gone into, like, there's a whole book called E-Myth about, you know, the idea that if you can make great pies, you shouldn't necessarily be in the pie business because you could fail. And so many people who do what they love and decide to expand fail. So what are you doing and how would you coach somebody to say, here's how to share what you love in a way that actually makes money, grows a business, and is sustainable?
Yeah, well, I think I read Business too, or E-Myth too.
Oh, you did? Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's a great book. I think if you're super passionate about something, are you giving up much if it falls on its face? No, you did something you really enjoyed, right? So I think it's when you get an idea that you say, this could be a multi-million dollar idea. But if you're not passionate about it, are you going to enjoy it? Are you going to love it? I get asked all the time, when are you selling Happy Teacher? And I say, I'm not selling it. If I sell it, like all the other companies that just acquire a bunch of programs like ourselves, you just become a part of theirs. You know, we lose who we are and why we're so great for teachers and our drive.
So what do you think you've done right, though? Because so many people who do what they love and share what they love, you know, and yeah, it's kind of trite to me because most people who do that fail. So if you had to identify something you've done right in converting what you love into a business, what is it?
Dave, I think I take feedback a ton. I think I naturally am a perfectionist, you know, whether it's to be the best teacher or be best, you know, for my family and things like that. I wanted our classes to be the best. And I think when you have that drive to say, I want to be different, I want to make a change, we want teachers to be happy. I say I wish someone told me years ago what we're now giving away for free in our classes, saying we hope those teachers come back to us. But even if not, that's okay. Figure out what's best for you and max out. Stay in the classroom. We need you as teachers. We need good teachers to stay there.
That's a great note to end on, and I think we will. I'm Dave Tabor. Today on ProCo 360, you've been listening to my highly animated conversation with Jen Cooper of Happy Teacher. Jen, so good to have you on ProCo 360.
Dave, thank you for having this podcast. I actually hadn't heard about it until last week when I was invited on here. I have been binging it since then. It's awesome. You have so many great people on. I've learned so much. So thank you for doing what you do.
You're welcome. And thanks also to our friend Jen Lester of Philosophy Communication. She connected us for this. Listeners, glad you're here on ProCo 360, where we say live, work, love Colorado, because you and I and my guests can be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. You make the show successful by subscribing to the ProCo 360 podcast. If you haven't yet, it's a huge help if you submit a review and click like in your app. Thanks again to show sponsors, Via Technologies, Denver Ventures, and Colorado Biz Magazine. That's the show. Live, work, love Colorado. You did great.
Woo! I love that.